بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, from these important lessons, الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة, important lessons for every common Muslim from the Ummah, by the great Shaykh and scholar of this era, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah. In the previous lesson, we went through Surah Al-Qari'ah and Surah At-Takathur. And in this lesson, we come to the next Surah of the Qur'an, and it is Surah Al-Asr. And Surah Al-Asr, it is Surah Makkiyah, i.e. it is a Surah which was revealed before the Hijrah, and it is one of the shortest Surah of the Qur'an, as it only contains 3 ayat. And despite the fact that it only contains 3 ayat, despite this, it is one of the most important Surah in the Qur'an. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would attach a lot of importance to this Surah, Surah Al-Asr. So much so that At-Tabarani, he mentioned, كان رجلان من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That whenever two men from amongst the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا التقيا لم يفترقا حتى قرأ أحدهما على الآخر سورة العصر. That whenever two of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever they would meet, they would not leave each other except that one of them has recited upon the other Surah Al-Asr. Meaning reminded each other of Surah Al-Asr because of the importance which it contains. So only 3 ayat. Yet despite this, this is the importance that Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to attach to it. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimullah, Muhammad ibn Idris Al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he said regarding this Surah, لو ما أنزل الله على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. That had Allah not revealed upon His people except only this surah, then this would be sufficient for them. This surah, if the Quran had no other surah except only this, then this surah would be sufficient for the people. Meaning sufficient for the people as an evidence against them. Because this surah, it outlines all of the obligations which are upon us. Whoever understands this surah, he will realize the obligation upon him. And therefore, whoever understands this surah, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the evidence, the hujjah has been established upon him. This is why he said, Rahimullah, لو ما أنزل الله على خلقه إلا هذه السورة, أي سورة العصر, لكفتهم. Had Allah not revealed upon His creation except only Surah Al-Asr, then it would be enough for them, a hujjatan alayhim, as an evidence against them. And he also said, Rahimullah, لو تدبر الناس هذه السورة لوسعتهم. That if the people were to contemplate this surah, then it would be sufficient for them. Why? Because it outlines all of the obligations upon a person. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He began this noble surah by making a qasam, taking an oath or a vow. He said, wal asri, that Allah, He takes an oath or He takes a vow by al asr. And the meaning of al asr is time. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said, Al-Asr ay al-zaman alladhi yaqa fihi harakat ibn Adam min khayrin wa shar. That Al-Asr It refers to the time, the days, the hours, the minutes in which people do their actions, good and bad. So the days which we live through and the time which we live through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes a vow by this. And we mentioned previously that whenever Allah Jalla fil Ula, He makes a vow by something in the Quran, it shows its importance. So therefore the first benefit of this surah is the importance of a person's time. The importance of a Muslim's time. And not only in this surah. In fact, throughout the Quran, and especially Juz Amma, Allah Jalla fil Ula, He keeps making qasam by different periods of time. Wadduha, the early afternoon. Wal Fajr, in the morning. Wal Layl, by night. And like this over and over again in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes a vow by different periods of time. All of this shows us the importance of time to a person. And this is the creation of a person. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, innama anta ayyam. You are only days. This is what you are. Your existence upon this earth, it is only a number of days. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمُكْ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكْ. So if a day of yours goes, then some of you has also gone. Some of your existence has also gone. And he said, يَبْنَ Adam, O son of Adam, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ بِيَوْمِكَ وَلَسْتَ بِغَدِكَ. He said, O Ibn Adam, you are according to your today and you're not according to your tomorrow. Meaning, you will only be judged by what you do today. As for tomorrow, perhaps it will come and perhaps it will not come. And if tomorrow comes, then say again, يَبْنَ Adam, أَنْتَ بِيَوْمِكَ وَلَسْتَ بِغَدِكَ. That you are according to your today. The most important day of yours is today. That which was yesterday has passed, and it will never come back. And that which is tomorrow, maybe it will come and maybe it will not come. So therefore, what is the most important day a person possesses? It is only the day which he is living in. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ بِيَوْمِكَ وَلَسْتَ بِغَدِكَ. You are only according to your today. You are not according to your tomorrow. وَلَعَصْ. And this is the meaning of وَلَعَصْ. Allah Jalla fil Ula, He makes a qasam. He takes an oath, He makes a vow by time to show the importance of time. And this is the most precious person, this is the most precious thing that a person possesses. Because money comes and goes. Children come and go. Property comes and goes. But time, that which passes by, will never return. If a person, for example, lost even £1,000 today, tomorrow, within a week, within a month, within 2 months, you will make £1,000 back. If a person loses a child, is divorced from his wife, tomorrow he marries again. Tomorrow more children come. As for time, once it has gone, it will never come back. So therefore, the most important thing which a person possesses is the day which he is living in. And this is the most important day that you have to attach importance to in terms of righteous actions. He said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily, al-insan, meaning all of mankind, all of mankind, لَفِي الْخُسْرٍ, is in خُسْر. And خُسْر is loss, in which there is no benefit. So Allah takes an oath by the most precious thing which we can have, our time. And what is He taking an oath upon? That every person, all of mankind, are upon loss and destruction. Then He said, Illa, accept. Meaning, if you want to save yourself from this khusran, from this loss and destruction, from this halak, then The Quran teaches you how to save yourself. He said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Accept those people who have iman. And iman is the greatest obligation upon a person. Because of iman, a person, by the fadl of Allah, saves himself from the fire. Because of iman, a person enters into Jannah of his Lord. Because of iman, he attains the pleasure of Allah. Because of iman, he saves himself from the anger of Allah. Because of iman, he lives a good life. Because of iman, the final abode is for him. And Allah said in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. Allah said in the Quran, whoever does righteous actions, male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he's a person of iman, لَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we will give him the good life. The life of this world and the life of the hereafter. The life of the hereafter, for the people of iman, we know how it is good, because it is Jannah. However, a person might say that I have iman, and yet in this dunya I'm going through difficulties. So how can you say, how does Allah tell us that He will give us a good, easy, pleasurable life, and if you have iman and yet I'm going through difficulties? And there's a number of ways that a person can look at this. Firstly, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His decree, when He decrees something in His qadr, then there's always a hikmah or a wisdom behind it. So whatever a person goes through, from calamities and loss and poverty and illness, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has a wisdom behind it. And didn't Allah not say in the Quran, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that perhaps you will hate something, but it will be good for you. And perhaps you will love something, and maybe it is actually bad for you. So the human, because our insight is limited, we don't know of the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed afterwards. Secondly, any difficulty that a person goes through in this dunya, then because of it, his reward in the akhirah is increasing. And his sins are being forgiven. Even to the extent of a thorn which pricks a person. A thorn which pricks a person, if it is a person of iman, then even that small amount of pain of this dunya, sins are being forgiven and his rank in the hereafter is being raised. And Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummuna wa Ummul Mu'minin radiallahu anha, she said, Ma min mu'min, there is no believer, yushaku shawka, and he's pricked by a thorn, illa rafa Allahu biha daraja, except Allah will increase him a rank in the hereafter, and that Allah will forgive from him a sin. So if this is the pricking of a thorn, and in reality there's no pain, and that little pain only lasts for a few seconds, but if a person has iman and this is his reward, that when he's pricked by a thorn or she's pricked by a thorn, his rank is increased and his sin is forgiven, then how about a person of iman who has a correct, strong iman, goes through difficulties and poverty and illnesses and death in his family? No doubt this is more and more sins being forgiven and a higher rank in the hereafter. And then the third wisdom behind difficulties of the dunya is that sometimes only by tasting and experiencing a difficulty do we show appreciation for the ni'mah. So how many people, whilst they are healthy and strong, they don't appreciate the blessing of good health. And when they become ill, and they are bedridden, and they cannot move, mentally they become weaker, then they realize the ni'mah, the great blessing of health. How many people, especially us in this country, we have safety and security. We don't fear walking to the masjid. And perhaps some of you brothers in the countries that you came from, you know the situation there. That a person just going to the masjid is a danger upon his life. So safety and security is a great blessing of Allah. And yet we don't appreciate it. Until fear and insecurity and danger touches upon a person, then he remembers the ni'mah of Allah Jalla fil Ula. And like this with wealth, money which is spent and wasted, and a person doesn't appreciate this blessing until poverty touches him, then he appreciates the blessing of wealth. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he mentions that even in sinning and disobedience of Allah, there's some goodness in it. Even in a person sinning and falling into the trap of shaitan and disobeying Allah, if he is a person of iman and he returns from it, in it there is some benefit. And that is when a person sins and he makes istighfar, and therefore Allah is pleased with his istighfar and he becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What caused him to become closer to Allah? It was that sin which he did in the first place, and then he sought forgiveness and made tawbah, and then Allah became happy with him and he became closer to Allah Jalla fil Ula. So even in sinning, even in disobedience, as long as a person has iman and returns back to Allah, there is wisdom of Allah in it. Even in the creation of Iblis, subhanAllah. Even in the creation of Iblis, there is wisdom of Allah in it. A person might say, why has Allah decreed Iblis to be created? Why did Allah decree for sins and kufr and disobedience? Why has Allah decreed all of this to exist? The presence of Iblis and the existence of kufr and bid'iyat and shirkiyat, Allah has a wisdom behind it. And many acts of worship are based upon the existence of Iblis and kufr and kuffar and shirk and all of these things which Allah hates. So for example, had it not been for the presence of Iblis and shayateen and kufr and bid'ah, then al-jihad fi sabilillah would not exist. Al-jihadu fi sabilillah, it exists because of kufr and shirk which is present. Al-wala wal-bara, alliances and disassociation for the sake of Allah, would not be here if there was no kufr and kuffar and shirk and iblis. Al-hubbu wal-bughdu fi Allah, it would not be present. Al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahi anil-munkar, there would be no need for it if there was no kufr. النصيحة لله الدعوة إلى الله, none of this would exist if there was no kufr. So even in the existence of Iblis and kufr and shirk and everything which Allah hates, but there is a wisdom of Allah behind everything. And then the fourth answer is, if a person asks, I'm a person of iman yet I go through difficulties, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the companions narrated. They said, بَيْنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَالِسٌ إِذْ ضَحَكْ, that one day, whilst the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with us, all of a sudden he started laughing. Then he said to them, أَلَا تَسْأَلُونَنِي بِمَا أَضْحَكْ, why don't you ask me why I am smiling, why I am laughing? So they said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَبِمَا تَضْحَكْ, O Messenger Allah, why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? He said, عَجِبْتُ لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ, he said, I am amazed by the affair of the believer. Why? Because his affair is always goodness. إِنْ أَصَابَهُ مَا سَرَّى شَكَرَ اللَّهُ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, that if some goodness comes to him, and he's pleased by something, and he shows shukr to Allah, then this is goodness for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ مَا ضَرَّهُ, and if he is touched by something which is difficult upon him, it hurts him, فَالصَّبَرُ, and he remains patient, كَانَ خَيْرُ اللَّهُ, then it is also goodness for him. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ, so all of his affairs is always goodness. Whether he's touched by goodness and a blessing and ease, whether he's touched by difficulty and a harm, as long as he remains between praising Allah for the goodness and showing patience upon the harm and the difficulty, then it is always goodness for him. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, and this is for nobody except for the person of Iman. So for the first avenue for a person to save himself from this khusran is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those people who have Iman. And Iman, of course, is built upon knowledge, upon al-ilm. Secondly, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous deeds. And saying that I am a believer, I am a mu'min, in of itself it is not sufficient. Because Iman, it is i'tiqad wa qawl wa amal. Iman, it is having the belief and making statements and also doing righteous actions. And how do we know whether an action is righteous or not? Like we said, the statement of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimullah, he said that the correct action or the righteous action is akhlasuha wa aswabuha, that which fulfills two conditions. The first condition, that it is akhlas, it is sincere for the sake of Allah, it is built upon at-tawheed. And the second condition, aswabuha, meaning it is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these two are sharta qubul al-amal. These are the two conditions for the validity of any act of worship. Any act of worship, it will not be accepted unless it fulfills these two conditions, al-ikhlas wal-ittiba. Being upon tawheed, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and being done according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah said, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. This is now the third avenue of salvation. All of mankind is in loss, except those people who have Iman. And Iman comes from seeking knowledge. Secondly, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous actions. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they encourage each other upon the truth. And this is the affair of the believers, that the people of Iman, amongst each other, they continuously encourage each other upon the truth. And the wording which is used is tawasaw. And tawasaw, abil istimrar, meaning all the time, constant reminders, constant advice. So advising once is not enough. Allah didn't say, wa awsu bil haqq, that they remind, they call to the truth. He said, وَتَوَاصَوْا, meaning amongst themselves, all the time, continuously, they cooperate with each other in calling to the truth. And then he said, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they continuously, mutually encourage each other upon patience. And الصَّبْر, patience, is one of the greatest ibadat that Allah has legislated. And all of us, we know that salah, it is ibadah, and hajj is ibadah, and sawm is ibadah, but also as-sabr, it is also an act of ibadah. So when a person is touched by a difficulty and he has sabr for the sake of Allah, then he is being rewarded for this sabr. He is worshipping Allah through sabr. He is worshipping Allah through patience. And what is the meaning of as-sabr? As-sabr, the ulama say, it is habsun nafs. It is a person controlling his self, controlling his desire. Meaning, he doesn't allow his self to control him, and his statements and his actions. Rather, he is the one who is in control of his nafs. And this is the meaning of as-sabr. Habsun nafs. A person being in control of his self. And as-sabr, it is most important in the initial stage of a calamity. So whenever a person goes through something, right at the beginning, the initial stage, this is the time for as-sabr. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to that woman, he said, "As-sabr 'inda sadmatil ula." That as-sabr is always at the first instance of difficulty. For example, something happens between two people. Let's say somebody hits your car. Those people who don't have sabr, the first words which come out is swearing and insulting. Afterwards they will apologize. Afterwards they will calm down. Afterwards they will realize they were wrong. But the initial response at the beginning is insulting and swearing and fighting. And this is the nature of people. Accept the people of as-sabr. Why? Inna sabra inda sadmatil ula. Because as-sabr, patience, it is at the initial stage of the calamity. And as-sabr, it is three types. Patience, it is habsun nafs, a person controlling himself in three ways or upon three things. It is habsun nafs ala ta'atillah. A person controlling himself and having patience upon obedience to Allah. And secondly, as-sabr an ma'asiyatillah. A person being patient in staying away from disobedience. And then thirdly, as-sabr ala aqdarillah. A person being patient upon the decree of Allah. These are the three types of as-sabr. As-sabr ala ta'atillah, الصبر عن معصية الله, الصبر على أقدار الله. الصبر على طاعة الله, a person being patient upon the obedience to Allah, because الصلاة requires صبر, and fasting, a psalm, requires الصبر, and الإخلاص requires الصبر, طلب العلم requires الصبر. So a person has to be patient and control himself when it comes to the obedience of Allah. The nafs, the soul, the desires, the self, because of a shaitan and because of these desires, it wants to disobey Allah. So money has been beautified to the nafs, and women are beautiful to the nafs, and spending time in jest and enjoyment and desires, it is good to the nafs. But a person has to control himself to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, an ma'asiyatillah. A person controlling himself and being patient in staying away from sinning and disobedience, and this is clear. And then thirdly, as-sabru ala aqdarillah. When the decree of Allah touches you in terms of difficulty and calamities and afflictions, that a person remains patient. That which is wajib is as-sabr. So patience, this is wajib. When a difficulty touches you, you do not say something which is haram. You do not lose hope in Allah. You do not question the decree and the wisdom of Allah. This is the obligation upon every single human. However, there is a level higher than sabr, which is mustahab. And this is highly recommended. So the minimum obligation is as-sabr. The higher level, when a difficulty touches you, is rida. That a person is actually pleased with this affliction. So the minimum level is, you realize the difficulty, but you control yourself and you have sabr. This is the wajib. The higher level is that when this difficulty touches you, a rida, you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are actually pleased for this affliction because you know of the wisdom of Allah and your iman in Allah, and you know the goodness that it contains for the akhirah. So you are pleased with the difficulty touching you. And also, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, they encourage each other upon patience, meaning patience upon iman, patience upon seeking knowledge, patience upon amal salih, and patience upon giving da'wah to Allah. So in this surah, we benefit firstly the importance of time, and secondly the steps that a person can save himself from loss and destruction, and also the fact that this surah, it gives us a manhaj, it gives us a methodology, even in our da'wah. So what is the correct methodology in da'wah? Firstly, knowledge, then righteous actions, then calling the people to the truth, and then being patient upon it. So any group, any jama'ah, which gives da'wah and tabligh, and yet their da'wah and their tabligh is based upon ignorance and jahl, then this is not the correct methodology. And also from the lata'if which are mentioned regarding this surah, is that which Ibn Kathir rahimullah mentioned, that Amr ibn al-As, before he came to Islam, he went to Musaylimah al-Kadhab, the one who after the death of the Prophet, he claimed prophethood. And when he went to him, and Amr ibn al-As at this time, he was not a Muslim, Musaylimah al-Kadhab, he said to him, مَاذَا أُمْزِلَ عَلَى صَاحِبُكُمْ, what has been revealed upon your companion, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Amr ibn al-As, even though he was not a Muslim, he said, Suratan wajizatan balighatan, that a very concise but powerful and eloquent surah, this has been revealed upon him. And then Musaylimah said, and what is it? What is this short, concise, powerful, eloquent passage? So he mentioned to him Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, to the end of the surah. And then the narration mentions, فَفَكَّرَ مُسَيْلِمَ هَنِيئَةً, that for a short while, Musaylima, he stopped and he thought. And then he said, قَدْ أُنْزِلَ عَلَيَّ مِثْلُهَا, that something has also been revealed upon me. I have also surah with me, which is powerful and which is concise, and this has also been revealed to me. And then he recited what he claimed to be a surah, and it was, Ya Wabar, Ya Wabar, Innama Anta Udhunani wa Sadar, Wa Sa'iruka Hafrun wa Nafar. And this was the surah which was revealed. Ya Wabar, Ya Wabar. I don't know if there's anybody amongst us who understands Arabic amongst the Arabs. What's the meaning of wabar? Any Arabs amongst us?
Like a rabbit.
Huh? Like a rabbit, sahih. It's like a small animal, like a small cat, like a meerkat or something. Something like this. Like a rabbit, I think, sahih. And he has two long ears and a protruding chest. So this surah which was revealed to him, which was trying to compete with Surah Al-Asr, Ya Wabar, Ya Wabar, oh, this animal like a rabbit or cat, oh cat, oh cat. Innama anta udhunan wa sadr, you are two ears and a chest. And then after it, wasa'iruka hafrun wa naqr, madri sheikh. Hufar, meaning like, tunnels and gaps and holes and so on and so forth. And then Musaylima, he said to him, what do you think? He said, what do you think about what I have mentioned to you? Amr is not Muslim. He said, Wallahi, innaka la ta'rif anni a'rif annaka kadhab. He said, by Allah, you know that I know that you are a liar. We suffice with this. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.